Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we've got some good stuff headed your way, so get comfortable. We've got former and original, I can use both those terms, I think, Golf Channel employee Brian Hammonds is going to be joining us here in just a little bit. He was one of the first guys, maybe even the first, to sign on with the Golf Channel way back when, and was with them for about 20 years. So we'll talk with Brian coming up in just a little bit. Also recap a little bit what happened at Kapalua. Boy, you're talking about going low. Wow. I mean, it was like five people breaking the all-time record, and only one could walk away with the trophy. So we'll talk about that. Of course, this week they stay in the Hawaii area for the Sony Open, and we'll preview that a little bit, talk about some of the guys that are having a nice fortune. It's a good way to start your year, especially almost anywhere else you live. You go to Hawaii, it's paradise. And so back-to-back tournaments, of course, on the islands. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit as well. And anything else that hits our fancy, including the national championship game, Georgia. Congratulations to the Bulldogs over Alabama. It cost me money, but congratulations nonetheless for Georgia. They waited a long time to win another national championship. And as always, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios to talk to us a little bit about what's going on in his world. How are you doing today, Frank?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing good. I'm listening to
Bogey. Did you watch the game last night?
Of course I did. Yeah, of course I did. The punt, pass, and kick competition last night?
Holy smokes. That's about a field goal contest for a while, right?
Well, you text me and said, hey, MVP going to be a kicker tonight?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was the final score is going to be like 18-15, all field goals.
Oh, it was brutal.
Got going in the second half.
A lot of hurt players on Alabama's team. Both teams had injuries. But Georgia persevered. 40 years it's been since Herschel Walker took them to the promised land.
They had Vince Dooley. Right
there. Yeah, didn't he look good? Didn't he? Vince looked pretty good.
6 years old or something like that, and he was at the game.
Yeah,
he's the last guy to win for Georgia.
Yes.
So, but you know what it tells you, Frank, is, and we'll actually talk to Brian Hammonds because I think he's a big football fan. I know he's a Colts fan.
And huge
from Indiana. So
Pacers, Colts, everything. Yeah, he's done it all. Yeah.
We'll have to bring up the Colts. That was a bad game for those guys. But we'll talk to him about that. But back to the college thing, it's. You know, it comes down to recruiting, Frank. There's no two ways around it. If Ole Miss, your alma mater, the love of your life, if Ole Miss can recruit 25 studs, running backs and defensive ends, they will be – it's just what it is. And so every year you see the top teams that recruit, and then you see the top teams in the polls, and they always are the same. I mean, there's no two ways. You can coach. You can do a lot of different things, and it doesn't hurt to have Saban or Smart or somebody as your coach. But you got to have the horses, and both of those teams are just loaded with studs that are going to be playing on Sundays pretty soon. So not surprising that it came down to those two teams, but it was surprising that Alabama did not play. Usually, that's why I kind of put a few dollars on it. Normally, Nick Saban teams are ready to play in big games, and they did not look that ready. I know they had some injuries, but their Heisman Trophy winning quarterback did not play exceptionally well. He threw the ball 57 times, Frank. 57. That's a lot for an Alabama team.
That was
throwing the ball that much. But that's because Georgia was stuffing them, right? Georgia wouldn't let them run.
Their defense was tough. I mean, Georgia's defense is tough. They did not play in the SEC championship game. They just didn't play well. They should have beaten Alabama in that game, but they just were flat. They came in thinking, we got this, you know, and they didn't got this. They got it all right. But they came back and did it. Bennett did a good job, although I was a little frustrated with, you know, he continued to just throw the ball away on third down.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
And I was like, what are you doing? I mean, every time you get a little pressure, you just throw it away? Come on, kid.
You know what I think that was, though, Frank, is he had some bad interceptions in that SEC championship game, and I think he probably, smart kid, learned from it, was coached and said, hey, if you're in doubt, throw the ball away.
Well,
we don't need you to try to squeeze one in a little window and all that. And that was probably, while it looks frustrating at the time, obviously the results at the end proved to be okay. It's probably the smart thing to do. There's a lot of quarterbacks that need to do that more, but they all think they're kind of Superman. And I can throw that bullet.
I can thread that in there. Triple coverage.
And you get it picked off. And that's what happened actually to Young, right? Those couple of picks he threw, long balls. Yeah. They were desperate passes that you don't have to throw that pass. Even that last pick, you know, the pick six there, you don't need to throw that ball. I mean, just pick up your first downs, score a touchdown, get it on. Well, there's ways of doing it, but they get desperate. They're like, oh, no, let's get it all right now.
Yeah, it was a lot of doubt. When in doubt, he had a lot of doubt last night.
Yeah.
I was very frustrated in the first half when he kept throwing it away like that. I just didn't get it.
Yeah.
And then that pass that he tossed for 40 yards into the corner of the end zone for the touchdown. Sweet.
Wow.
Yeah.
The guy was all over him. I mean, it was good defense. Oh, it just got. Geez. It's almost like it got lodged between the guy's rib cage and his elbow.
Shoulder. It was against his shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I just happened to, the ball was right there, and it just, I couldn't help but catch it. So, it was a good game. Exciting.
It was good. All the way to the end. I stayed up late, watched it, then watched all the post stuff. And I have to say this, though. Bennett, you know, walking around with a cigar in his mouth and that milky white skin.
Yeah.
It just, I was like, come on, kid. Come on. Now, don't nerd it up. Don't nerd it up right now.
Well, he was imitating Joe Burrow, right?
Yes, he was.
Burrow won at LSU.
Yes.
And I think Burrow pulls off the swagger.
A little better.
Bennett looks like he's going to go into investment banking as soon as the career's over.
I'm going to say this about a friend of mine, but nothing against Ned, okay? But Bennett looks, and Ned Michaels look a lot alike.
Yeah.
Think about that. Yeah. They do. Yeah. They do. Yeah. No offense, Ned, if you're listening.
It's not that he's a bad looking kid.
And no offense, Bennett. No, he's a good looking kid.
He just kind of looks like a kind of a nerdy guy who's not very big and will not be playing on Sundays. And that's okay. I mean, he's got this on his resume. As I like to say, he's not buying drinks in the state of Georgia for the next 50 years. So.
No. Like, he'll probably have a State Farm agency when he.
He'll run for Senate something. Too. He'll do whatever he needs to. I mean, it's like he's God there
no,
now. I
no
mean,
kidding.
Oh my, you know, they waited 40 years.
40 years. Well, Kirby's smart. Let's face it. Kirby Smart is a pretty excitable guy. I mean, he's more excitable than Doug Bell.
Yeah.
Truthfully.
Yeah, he gets crazy.
Oh man, he spent more time. I think he's quick. I wonder what he runs 40 in.
I don't know. He should be a player. Yeah. You could tell.
He used to be a player. Yeah,
he got down to the end zone quicker than his receiver.
Wasn't he a defensive back? I think he was a DB.
Might have been. But I think a pretty good player.
Yeah, so. You heard a little bit about what Saban said to him in their post game, meet and greet in midfield, and he said, "I'm really proud of you, man." He said, "You shut us down, and he was complimenting Kirby Smart. Of course, they're very close. They're good friends.
The student beating the teacher, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
He coached for him with the Dolphins with LSU. I mean, forever.
Yeah.
He was like one of the all time great assistants, and not only the second. There was so Saban's the armor's getting a little chink in it. He had never lost to a former assistant. Remember? Yeah. And then he loses to A&M and Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah.
That was the first time this year. Yeah. He never lost to any, and he was like 20-0.
He's lost to two.
He'd done a few, and now he's lost two.
Yeah, and I'm going to take my car to his dealership here and
complain
about something they did to it.
I think Alabama should start looking for a new coach, is what I think.
Saban
guy is just over the hill.
He's not the highest paid college coach, I don't think. So
I think he's got something in his contract that stipulates he's always like one or two or three or something like that. A lot of these guys that are, I think Harbaugh had that in his contract. So whenever a new guy comes in and Brian Kelly goes to LSU and gets some big deal, then and nobody's happier than Nick Saban because Nick Saban gets a raise every time one of these guys gets a new contract to make sure he stays. It's just they can't do enough for him in Alabama. So
speaking of contracts and money and all that, we're going to have to, and we won't in the next segment get into it, but we need to get into this in this show or maybe the next show.
What's that?
Saudi Arabia golf. Graham McDowell came out. He was interviewed by Alex Maselli. Graham came out with some statements about, I think it's good for the game and good for everything, making the PGA Tour step up.
Yeah.
It's not a panda bear.
I will say this, though, that PGA Tour all of a sudden upped the money, didn't they?
Well, yeah.
I mean, it did. Well, that's
his PIP point. Came from that, too. So,
yeah, if there's more money out there, then all of a sudden, then the PGA Tour said, okay, well, you're going to pay $10 million guaranteed when – by God, we'll pay $20 million. So that's what the players love. That's like football bat. They love free agency. I want you to bicker over me. I'll give them that. Okay.
Well, kind of like us. SiriusXM is bickering over how much they're going to pay us, right?
Is that right?
Yeah.
I haven't got insight on that bicker.
Yeah.
Let me know. SiriusXM
wants players and all that, on their network. Well, you know what? Hey, fellas, we're here, and I don't think we want you. Unbelievable. Have you listened to some of the SiriusXM shows lately?
And I won't get into it deeply. I listen to some stuff. I guess.
There's some that are good. We have friends there, so I'm not going to. We do have friends over there, But some of those shows, oh my God. And the reruns, I mean, it's like I Love Lucy.
Rerun.
I don't know. They need some more shows, okay? So just a word for the wise, SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. We're here. So, you know, we can be bought. We can be bought.
Hey, did you watch, going back to last week's tournament, did you check out? I mentioned how well everybody played. What a great duel between Cameron Smith and John Rahm.
Unbelievable. I want to get Hammond's read on that, too, because you're facing down the number one player in the world every day.
Yeah. Who's playing great, by the way.
Yeah.
It was like you kind of got a bad week. You just outplayed a guy who was already played well enough to set records and win the tournament, and you still beat him on the last hole. So congratulations to Cameron Smith for being able to, because Rahm was not, he wasn't missing a fairway.
Uh-uh.
He wasn't missing a green.
You know, he doesn't. I mean,
he was just on fire.
Last year it was a great year for him. They stole the Memorial from him by making, he had to withdraw because of COVID, and he had that tournament won. So
what was it, by 7 or 8 or something in the final round?
Yeah, and has to leave.
Hey, by the way, I also looked at the final standings. Of course, it's a tournament of champions. It's just winners.
Yes.
So it's 38, 40 guys. Yes. And the last place versus middle of the pack. So like if you finished 20th or you finished 40th, the difference was like $9,000 or $11,000. I'm kind of thinking if I'm dawdling a little bit, I'm having a good time. I might stay out a little bit later.
I'll have another vodka.
But financially, now I know there were points, right? You get your points, and FedEx points matter. But from a money standpoint, I think last place you're guaranteed. I think it was $104,000, something like that, maybe. And if you finish 20th, you got like $118,000 or something. Yeah. Now the big guys, the winners were 1.4, and then down the front. But the bottom of the pack was all within a few thousand dollars of each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, and even if it was a difference of 12 shots. The guy only won, you know, 12-shot difference was only $3,000. I'm like, okay, well, then I think I'll just have some fun. Remember, what was it, at the Hero World Challenge? And the last group was, Spieth and was it Stenson?
Spieth and Stenson playing from the wrong tees.
And they're both asking, can we just quit after 9 and, you know, get to the airport? Because we're going to be last and second to last or tied for last, whatever.
You get no check. No,
you actually have to finish. And they're like, okay, then we'll finish.
Hey,
but they were thinking, let's just get out of here.
Yeah, before we bring Brian in, I want to talk about something, some friends that we're going to be on their show too. But there's a brand new sports cast called The Long Game with LZ and Leach. And it explores how events on the field collide with the moments in politics, business, and culture that happen off the field. Host LZ Granderson and Will Leach dig into vaccination hesitation, online betting, imagine that, online betting, a lot of talk about that now, and all of the world wonderful isms and phobias we've come to know, love, and hate. Doing a good job, huh? You can listen to new episodes of The Long Game with LZ and Leach every Wednesday on thecount.com. Therecount.com. I'm butchering this read, okay, guys?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Therecount.com are your preferred podcast platform. So let's do this. The Long Game with LZ and Leach. They're friends. Go listen to that the podcast, Therecount.com, because it really is a really good podcast, great platform. Any platform you want to listen to it on, it's on all of them. The Long Game with LZ and Leach. Therecount.com is the site. And check those guys out. So sorry, guys, but
I
did the best I could do. After a long night last night.
You said all that. You said it well through your Glenn Levitt hangover.
Ooh.
Well, let's take a break because we have, as I said, Brian Hammonds, former Golf Channel first guy. Am I right on that, Frank? Was he the first guy?
First guy,
up?
Yeah. He was there. When they turned the switch, he was there. There was his pretty face.
You've seen his face before. There's a handsome little mustache and everything. So we'll be joined by Brian Hammonds to talk about all things golf and maybe some other Indiana kind of stuff because he's an Indiana guy. And we'll get into that and some other stuff when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will return right after this.
In life, we're all bound for different things. With Beachbound.com, you could be bound for adventure, bound for passion, bound for discovery, or bound for togetherness, or maybe bound for encountering the unexpected. Beachbound is an online travel agency with expertise in worldwide beach vacations and experiences. They're reinventing beach travel. With Beachbound.com, customers can book worldwide beach vacations that include flights, hotels, transfers, and excursions. They're a one-stop travel shop. Personally, when I'm at a beach resort, I'm bound to end up at a poolside bar. Hey, as long as I have a great view and a cold drink in my hand, I'm as happy as I can be. With BeachBound.com, you can find your perfect beach vacation worldwide because there's a beach out there waiting for you with BeachBound.com. Visit BeachBound.com to book your next beach vacation. That's BeachBound.com. What are you bound for?
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett joining you. And as we said, we talked a little bit about Cameron Smith and the great tournament in Kapalua and how well everybody played at the Century Tournament of Champions. And of course, now everybody turns around. Not everybody, but most of them turn around to play at the Sony Open and stay in the islands, even though it's a different island. And so we'll talk a little bit about that as well. It's really fun golf. And if you want to, again, get away from some of the cold that a lot of people are in, it's always fun to at least visually watch what's going on in Hawaii. It kind of keeps you warm by the fireplace when it's supposed to be, Frank. I saw today that this weekend coming up and through like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week in the, I don't know about Nashville where you're at, but in the New England area and that direction, it's all single digits and below zero. It's like this big freeze that's going to hit that part, which I guess always happens this time of year. But boy, I tell you, it's how cold is it in Nashville? You got some snow a few days ago, right?
We had 8 inches of snow. It paralyzed this town. But it was gone in like less than 36 hours. Gone. Okay. I mean, it jumped back up to 55 degrees, 60 degrees, and rain. So it went away. But yeah, when the first drop of snow hits the ground here, it is like pickup trucks off the side of the road, Budweiser cans spilled everywhere.
I mean, what are you insinuating, Frank?
I'm not saying anybody's redneck in Nashville, Tennessee.
Tennessee can't drive in the snow.
It is a home of country music, you know.
It is. It is.
Oh, my Lord.
Hey, we also said that Brian Hammons is going to be joining us, and he's with us. We don't lie. Well, we sometimes lie, but this time we're not.
A lot.
The original guy from Golf Channel, Brian Hammons, is joining us from somewhere in Indiana. Is it Indianapolis, or where are you joining us from, Brian? Thanks for being with us.
Well, Carmel, Indiana, just north of Indianapolis, a few miles, you know, where Crooked Stick is.
That's the the big expensive houses. Good morning, Brian. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Good. It's good to hear your voice again. We worked together not too long ago in French Lick at the Senior LPGA Championship, and I didn't get to hear your voice a lot because some of the communication wasn't working between the studio and me slogging up and down those hills out there in 105-degree temperature.
And that event has gone away since we've done that event. Do you think that's a coincidence?
Probably my fantastic coverage. I was spending more time telling Tris Johnson what was going on in the group in front of her. She kept asking me, what you get? What you get there? What you shoot? What's going on? The whole time. Yeah, that's legal, isn't it?
Sure.
Okay, good. Woo!
That was a great event, though. I mean, that was a lot of fun, and it was good to catch up with a lot of those women that I'd covered on the LPGA Tour for a few years when I was doing that tour, and it was a good event. I hated to see it go away.
Yeah, it's moved away. The rumor is it's going to be at Innisbrook, and you know, they may want to do it the same way again, I've heard. So there you go, you and Janie and me wandering around out on the course aimlessly trying to figure out what to do. So we may be doing it again.
That works for me.
That'd be fun, yeah. Hey, I want to, you know, we've known each other a long time, and you, I've from the day that, Tim, quick story, Brian was on the air in Opa-locka, Florida, in the Golf Channel, you know, trailer. And I've forgotten who was sitting beside you there. You were on live covering the tournament when Brendan Sweeney and I swung the door open into the studio and said, "Hey, what's happening, guys?" And you were live rolling when we did that to you.
Yeah, that was in Alabama. Yeah. Yeah. You know, because the broadcast booth is a high-end trailer. And but ever since then, though, I think they locked the door.
Yeah. Why they didn't think of that before, I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just
because I think you guys were a few drinks in.
Big time.
No.
Yeah. Oh.
Really?
Well, they let us. There are two courses there. They're playing the tournament, the PGA Tour event, on one course. The other course right next to it, butts up against it, is closed, right, because of the TV coverage and all that. Well, they said, "Oh, you Sweeney can go on out." We were finished, so we went out and played 18 holes on that course. And had our own private liquor cart. So, yeah, when we stormed the Golf Channel set, it was, boy, oh, boy. It was fun, though.
It was kind of funny. Yeah.
Yeah. You looked at me like, are you idiot? What are you doing?
Well, Brian, what was it like in the early days of Golf Channel since you were there at the very beginning? Was it like the start of ESPN and other things tentative and will this work? Won't it work? How's it all going to come together? Was it anxiety riddled or were you totally confident that this is the start of something really cool that's going to be very, very big for the next forever?
Well, I was confident because a lot of people were saying, you know, you don't want to do this. This isn't going to work because you got to remember that there were no niche cable channels then. There right. wasn't a tennis channel. There wasn't a Food Network. There wasn't any of that. The Golf Channel was the first niche channel. And a lot of people thought it wouldn't work. But the reason I was confident that it would was because Arnold Palmer was involved. I mean, it wouldn't have worked without Arnold Palmer's involvement. You know, he was our chairman. And, you know, when Arnold Palmer would call up the president of Time Warner Cable and say, hey, I got a project I'm working on. Let's go play golf. Let's talk about it. Well, who's going to turn that down?
Yeah.
So, you know, Arnold Palmer's involvement gave us some confidence that it was going to work. Now, that doesn't mean there weren't some anxious moments in the early goings. And there were a couple of times when Joe Gibbs, who was the founder of the Golf Channel, not the football coach, but the businessman from Birmingham, who really should be in the World Golf Hall of Fame. Hopefully he is soon. You know, he ran into some issues early and didn't think he could cover payroll. And Arnie reached into his pocket and wrote checks to cover payroll for a couple of times in the early days.
Wow.
So, you know, it wouldn't have worked without Arnie. And to say there weren't some anxious moments in the early goings would be, there certainly were.
What stories can you tell on the air? Any one that sticks out in your mind, something funny that happened or anything like that in the early days?
Well, the first year we were on the air in 95, I mean, they spent a lot of money to look like the networks, and we had to. You couldn't come out of the box and look like a local cable access channel or nobody would take you seriously. So they spent a lot of money. We would go to the U.S. Open at Shinnecock the year that Corey Pavin won. That was our first U.S. Open. And they spent a ton of money. And it looked great. The set looks great. We had a lot of people there. Well, the next year, when the budget was a little tighter, we're standing out in the cornfield, basically, at Oakland Hills in Detroit for the U.S. Open. So, you know, we came out of the box strong, but then we had to dial back the budgets. One funny story at Augusta National, it took Augusta a while to warm up to the Golf Channel, to treat us like they did ESPN or CNN or any of the other networks. So they had us back in the television compound. Well, it's not even on the par three course. They wouldn't even let us on the par three course. So we're back in the TV compound. I'm doing our live portion of the show of Golf Central. We found an azalea bush to stand in front of that maybe could be at Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah, or anywhere.
So I'm on the air doing my stand-up, you know, bit, my portion of the show. And the camera guy and Jennifer Mills, who wasn't in that segment, my co-host, was standing, you know, right next to the camera guy. And both of those two start cracking up while I'm talking on the air. So I throw to the piece and I said, well, what are you laughing at? And they said, look at the truck that just drove right behind you very slowly. And it was one of those trucks that cleans out the porta potties. And their slogan that drove right behind me very slowly was one of the best slogans you've ever heard. We're number one in the number two business. So that, you know, here we are at Augusta.
What did you impress the viewers there, huh?
Oh, yeah. So luckily, the Augusta National warmed up to us, you know, pretty shortly after that, and we were able to actually get on the grounds and cover the Masters.
Hang out under the big tree, you know, with all the other guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're joined by Brian Hammonds, and formerly of the Golf Channel, and has had podcasts and websites and a lot of other things. And a tournament, and I know you want to talk about a tournament that you have coming up, too, as well. What's that all about?
Well, we had the first playing of the Country Club National Championship in October down at Disney World. and it was a great success. Teams had a blast. It's the Bellwood Country Club out of Cincinnati, Ohio, won the national championship, and we're making plans for 2022. It's going to be played at Myrtle Beach this year, and four really good golf courses, and we're hoping for a full field of 64 teams, and it's a modified Ryder Cup format. So 8 players per team. We've gone from 10 players in year one to 8 players in year two. It's just a little more manageable and easier for teams to get eight players. So it's 8 player teams, modified Ryder Cup format. The first 6 holes are our best ball. Second 6 holes are alternate shot, and the third 6 holes are singles. And one professional is allowed per team. Now the pro's got to be a staff member at the club. And we pay appearance fees and bonuses for the pros that participate. So, like I said, everybody had a great time in year one, and we're really looking forward to year two at Myrtle Beach. And they can go to ccncgolf.com to get all the details and to enter a team.
Say that again? CCNC?
CCNC, Country Club National Championship, ccncgolf.com.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, it was. I hate that I missed getting down there for that. Sweeney and I were going to head over there, but as goes, it seems these past year and a half months going by,
things change.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, let me ask you this. Speaking of Sweeney, I assume, Brian, that you've played down at French Lick at Brendan Sweeney's
with
personal golf course. When I was there when I was down there for the event in the summer with Frank and everybody else, it was there
Symetra
Tour and the Sweeney Cup. A little subtitle of that tournament is the Sweeney Cup. I played with a guy from, and I guess you probably know him because you're a local Indianapolis sportscaster for a lot of years. But who's the PR guy for the Pacers that I played with? That's a really cool guy. Do you know who I'm talking about?
You probably played with Eddie White.
Eddie White, yeah. What a cool guy. Played with Eddie White.
He's a good guy.
Is he still with the Pacers?
Yeah, he is. He's
media relations or whatever with the Pacers.
Vice president of corporate communications or corporate something or other, and he also hosts their radio post game show. But yeah, he's a good guy and works very hard. Well, my question to you though: if you played with Eddie, how many names did he drop during those 4 hours?
77. I kept count.
He's got some good names to drop, and he's not shy to do it.
Well, Brian, you know, you've done outside of the Golf Channel, and of course you were local sports, you were on the Fox station there also, sports director. You've done a ton of stuff. You did IndyCar too, which is interesting, very interesting to me, because I love Indy racing, that style of racing. What was that like, calling that?
That was a lot of fun. Did you do the race in Nashville?
Yeah, I did. Fabulous. It was fabulous. First time they've ever taken those cars across a bridge during a race. That was a big deal.
Yeah, it's the one thing about IndyCar racing that I tell people, especially the Indy 500, which is one of the great sporting events in the entire world. And if you've never been, you got to go once, even if you're not a racing fan, just to take it in. And because to see it on television, they're going fast. But when you see it in person, it's like, whoa, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But to do that sport was a lot of fun. You grow up in Indiana, you can't help but being a race fan. And my dad was a big fan and always took me to races. And so I grew up a race fan. So to have the chance to do the Indy 500 and do the IndyCar series on ABC was a treat. And the people in racing are a lot like the people in golf. It's like one big traveling family. Like golf is. So they take care of each other and they look out for each other, and they're a bunch of good people. So I really enjoyed those years.
Yeah, that is a lot of fun. And another thing you did that really intrigued me is and you have some stories. I really want you to share a little bit of it with your movie debut.
Feature film. I'm still getting checks, by the way, but the Golf Channel was called in 95, the first year we were on the air, and said, hey, we're shooting this movie called 10 Cup. Can you provide us a couple of your announcers? So they chose me and Mike Ritz, and we flew to Tucson to take part in our portion of the movie. And it's when when Kevin Costner is caddying for Don Johnson early in the movie in a pro-am. So we fly in on a Sunday, and Ron Shelton directed the movie, and he also directed some pretty heavyweight movies. White Man Can't Jump, Bull Durham, a couple other. Ty Cobb movie that had Tommy Lee Jones in it. Yep. Really accomplished director. And he told us, said, look, you're going to have to be ready every day. We don't know when we're going to get to your scene. But the funny thing was, we had our trailer, you know, like just like the stars did. We had doubles. We had guys dressed that are similar size to us, dressed like us, walking around. I said, why do we have doubles? And they said, well, when we light your scene, we don't want you to be bothered. We put the doubles in there. Okay.
When we blow up the broadcast booth, we don't want to hurt you.
Yeah, whatever. So we were there all week watching this scene take place. And the one thing I learned is it is a painstaking process to make movies. I mean, for every day you shoot, and that's a full day, sun up to sundown, that comprises like 2 minutes of the movie. Yeah. I mean, it's just painstaking because they shoot the scenes over and over and over again from different angles. So we're watching this scene unfold all week long. And they finally, on Friday, they say, okay, it's your turn. Now, we have one line in the script that they scripted for us. And they said, look, you've seen this all week. You think you could ad-lib it? Well, yeah. That's what we do.
Yeah.
So we ad-libbed it. We bought ourselves probably 30 seconds in the movie rather than one line by doing that. We did it in one take, and the actors were flabbergasted that we were able to do it in one take because, you know, they don't ad-lib. It's all scripted.
Yeah.
So that was our bit in the movie, and I still get residual checks. it's fun. And every time I got one the other day, well, a few months ago, for 55 cents.
Yeah.
it cost them more to mail the doggone thing than it did.
Did you have an opportunity to interact at all with Don Johnson or Kevin Costner?
Oh yeah. And Kevin Costner, because at the time he was the biggest star in Hollywood. I mean, he was the biggest box office draw. And he was a down-to-earth, really good guy. Rene Russo was really cool. Cheech Marin was awesome. Because, you know, there's so much downtime. You know, you're at a golf course, so everybody went and hit balls. And Phil Mickelson was in that scene, and Craig Stadler, and Peter Costas was down there. So we had a good time when we weren't shooting. And Don Johnson was the interesting guy because, you know, he was pretty big. Pretty big deal when he was on Miami Vice and some other shows, but he was the only guy that acted like he was a movie star.
A little insight. Yeah. So he kind of acted like he was in the movie because he kind of played a pompous golfer in the movie, kinda, right?
The funny thing, I don't know. He probably listens to your show, and I probably shouldn't say this, but the funny thing was when he would go to his trailer, evidently he thought he had a good golf swing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when he would go to his trailer, they would bring Ron Shelton would come out and tell the extras, say, stand around this way so nobody can see. We got to double his swing. So they'd bring the assistant pro out dressed like Don Johnson to hit golf shots so they could
look
put
like
that
a pro.
Swing in them. Yeah.
Because Costner, I remember when he was making that movie, I remember seeing an interview. And again, we're joined by Brian Hammonds talking about Tin Cup back in the day, back in his days with Golf Channel. But Costner was not a great golfer and did not have a great swing for him to be portrayed as a potential U.S. Open champ and all that. But I know he worked on it, and he talked about just like playing a baseball movie, like he did a lot of those. He said it's one thing. You kind of maybe know how to throw a baseball or hit a ball and look like you know what you're doing. He said golf, even though everybody's got different swings, you can kind of quickly tell if this guy's got a tour quality swing or a really good golfer swing versus just a good guy who can, you know, break 80 once in a while. So Costner was challenged, he said, by trying to really look like his swing was official. So I know what you're saying, but I like the fact that you're saying he was a good guy. He was a fun guy to hang out with because that's kind of how I envisioned him. I love him on his show now, Yellowstone. So it's kind of neat to know that he was that big a star, but also a good guy, right?
Yeah, real down to earth, you know, and that's what you like to see in, you know, in people that are perceived as superstars. But, you know, sure. I know he did work really hard with Gary McCord and Peter Costas on his swing to try to make it passable. And they used his swing in the movie.
Yeah.
The only thing, you know, Gary McCord was the technical director to make sure everything was accurate. The only thing, but when he starts backing up the three wood on the 18th hole at the U.S.
Right.
Open, I'm thinking,
right,
Gary, I think you might have overstepped here.
Kind of missed that one.
That was a heck of a shot. I was like, boy, that's got some skill right there to back up that three wood from two.
Well, I know everybody remembers the scene with McCord in the bar and Russo and, you know, one
and
ball, one shot, one pelican. Yeah. You know, McCord has the fountain.
Is this
microphone? Yeah, yeah. What a crazy scene that was.
That was actually a true story, and it took place, I forget the player, that might have been McCord. I think it was that made that bet in Pensacola at a PGA Tour event. That was a
that sounds like
a true story.
That scene looked like it was done at Kingwood Country Club, but I'm not sure. I know they filmed some scenes at Kingwood, but that's irrelevant, really.
Yeah.
But I think at Kingwood in Texas, right? Houston.
And I think they even remember in that scene, Frank and Brian, that as McCord's doing the play-by-play, he goes, okay, he's got about 105 yards. He's got to hit it through the door, over the he's going through this whole thing, and Koster gets Cheech Marin to shut him up. Hey, yeah. Can you get a grip on that guy over there?
Can somebody shut that guy up over there?
Shut McCord up over there because he had to duck down behind the bar so nobody got blasted.
I bet that was a hoot. How long were you out there for the scene? Just a week or so?
A week, yeah. We were out there a week. But it was a lot of fun, and you know, you learned a lot because I'd never been. The funny thing was, they said now that you've been in this movie, you need to join SAG, Screen Actors Guild. You know, I said, all right, well, you know, what do I have to do?
Well,
it's $1,500 then. It's $1,500 to join. I said, why would I do that? And they said, well, the next time you're in a movie, you would get a higher rate. I said, I just played myself for 30 seconds. I don't think I'm going to get many opportunities to be in other movies.
I don't know. We have a friend
on that $1,500.
If they can't get De Niro, they're going to call Hammonds.
That's right. I don't know, though. We have a friend who was a firefighter who ended up in a movie. So, and then movie after movie after movie. So,
yeah. Who knew that was going to
happen? Who knew that was going to happen? Burton Gilliam from Blazing Saddles. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe I blew that chance.
Yeah, maybe you did. It's all about SAG. Hey, Brian, before we let you go, and I know you're a busy guy, but I also want to talk about, because you're again, local in Indianapolis there in that that area.
Uh-oh.
And we have Earl Forsey on with us quite often. Earl, of course, voice of PGA Tour Radio, and he is based in Washington, has been forever and ever. And we can't get out of a show without talking about former Redskins, the Washington football team, and all the drama going on there. So I got to ask you about your Colts and what happened in the last game, because that's going to be a sore point in that area of the country. I got to think for years and years how they could go in the last game to beat Jacksonville, who it seems like most colleges could have beaten Jacksonville, to beat Jacksonville to make the playoffs and to just lay an egg like the Colts laid one.
That was the most embarrassing loss in that franchise history. I mean, it was and it wasn't just last week. I mean, they had to do was win one of their last two games. They had the Raiders at home, and the Raiders are decent, but the Colts were playing great going into that game. And then you go to Jacksonville, a 2-14 team, and lay an absolute egg and get dominated. And I had one of the teams in the Country Club National Championship this year was from Philadelphia, the Bluebell Country Club. And they warned me the whole week that we were in Orlando, hey, Carson Wentz isn't the guy. He's going to cost you. He's going to – and I kept saying, no, he's going to be fine. He's going to – well, they were right. They were right.
Oops.
Carson Wentz has not lived up to what we thought he might be. And I – you know, but it wasn't just him. They've got issues all over. They need wide receivers. They need a pass rush. They need you know, they need help in a lot of different areas. But that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
But you know, best of luck to the Tennessee Titans, right?
Absolutely. I
put money on them.
I did. I picked the Titans against the Packers in the Super Bowl. And
if Derrick Henry comes back, you know, being Derrick Henry, they've got a good chance.
Well, everybody will be back. That's the thing. Derrick Henry will be activated because we have a bye week. He's healthy. He's good. But they just didn't want to run the risk, I think, in this last game because it was, home field advantage. But So I have my tickets. I'm sitting on my playoff tickets. We're ready to go. So
5 weeks are big. So
yeah, man,
be fun.
Yes, it's going to be a blast. And Vrabel, I got to tell you, I mean, is Vrabel not an unbelievably great football coach?
Could be coach of the year.
Should be.
Should be. He should be coach of the year. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's some speculation that Tomlin in Pittsburgh took a team that shouldn't have been a playoff team and squeaked. We could go through that drama too, how they got in the playoffs, but squeaked in. But yeah. I think a lot of people are thinking either Tomlin or Vrabel will be coach of the year. So the good thing is neither one of them got their Monday morning call from the owner saying, could you come to my office? Like Zimmer.
Yeah, don't bother like to come Maggie, to my office. Like, I'll save, like the gas, other, yeah. save the gas money.
The Monday I'll just tell you over the phone. After the last game can be pretty brutal for coaches. Yeah. So, yeah, they both avoided that. So, yeah.
Hey,
well, Brian, we appreciate your time. We really do. And everything you're doing. Give us again the website for people that want to check out of that golf tournament you're talking about, if they want to check it out and see what's up with that.
Yeah, it's the Country Club National Championship. It's a great time. We're at Myrtle Beach this year, October 4th through the 9th. And you can check it out, get all the information at ccncgolf.com.
Cool. We will do so. Good. Absolutely.
All right.
Buddy, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Great job. We appreciate it. We'll have you again real soon. And we don't have to talk Wentz, but maybe we can talk about the Pacers. The Pacers aren't playing very well.
No, you don't want to do that either.
Maybe talk about something. Butler University?
No, they're not doing good either.
No.
Damn. Well, Brian, give us an idea of what we can talk about, and we'll call you.
We'll go to French Lick.
We can talk golf.
We got golf right up here. Thanks so much, Brian. We do appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, brother. See you, pal. All right.
Take care. Brian Hammonds. And, you know what, Frank, that reminds me of a radio station that started here when he was talking about the beginning of the Golf Channel. There's a station here called The Ticket, which was the first in Dallas to be all sports, but one of the first even in the country. There were only a handful in the country that were doing all sports back in early 90s, mid-90s. And same thing, when they went on, and I was only doing fill-in because I was doing TV, so I couldn't do that regular, but I would fill in for some of these guys. When that first started, it was... I'm sure the Golf Channel is a bit more sophisticated. This was seriously like MacGyver put together the signal, the station, all the equipment was with duct tape and a stick of gum and a pencil would hold up a microphone. I mean, it was ridiculous. And those guys that were there full time didn't know if they were getting a check. I mean, you kind of anticipated, but it was just like he said. That's funny that he said that Arnie had to write a few of his own checks. That's a tough gig to take when it's something brand new like that. It's exciting, and you look back on it and go, oh, it's so like ESPN getting started, but you're never sure if it's going to make it.
Yeah.
And there's somebody that's going to go, well, we're done, and there's no more checks, and you're going, why did I do this? But it worked out for the Golf Channel.
Yeah, it sure did work out for the Golf Channel. By the way, our good friend Todd Lewis, speaking of Golf Channel, is off the Golf Channel for a couple of months. He's going to be doing Olympic speed skating. So he's in, I guess, Wisconsin for the nationals, whatever.
Yeah,
and then he'll be heading across the big pond and across the world, basically.
Yeah,
to China for the Olympics. So,
and you guys just had the national figure skating.
We did. So Scott Hamilton, who's everybody knows who Scott. I would think everyone
former
knows
Olympian,
who Scott
sure.
Hamilton is. One of the greatest
when it comes
skaters,
to figure skating,
figure yeah. skaters of all time. He's a resident here in Nashville. We play golf with him some here. He's a great, great, great person.
Nice.
He's been through a lot of health issues in his life, and he's one of the most optimistic people I've ever met. Just what a great guy.
I'm curious, Frank, since you guys had the figure skating championships with the bad weather, was it an outdoor event? Did you just put the figure skaters on streets or something? It's like, oh?
No, we didn't.
No, it was indoors.
Okay. It was indoors, yeah.
Very cool. So.
Yeah, so it he you know, Scott, by the way, was instrumental in getting the Ford Center here, skating center here.
Is that right?
Yeah, which is for... You know, the kids coming up aspiring professionals and Olympians and all that, because, you know, we just had the Bridgestone Arena for the Predators and no place for the kids really to go skate. So he was very instrumental in that. He's community-driven, heart-driven, great guy. Scott Hamilton, shout out to him. He's a wonderful person and a pretty darn good golfer, too.
I'm going back to Brian Hammonds talking about Tin Cup.
Both those
things that he said, or two of the things he said, don't surprise you. One is Costner's a cool guy, because you kind of think he would be. He's done so many sports movies, and he seems like he's kind of a regular guy, right, that plays a lot of baseball and did stuff before he became crazy famous and all that. So, and that John Johnson would be a little bit aloof.
John Johnson, yeah.
Or maybe a lot aloof, doesn't surprise me either. Although it seems like he could be a cool guy, but I think there's... I think there's a Miami Vice-ness about him, if that's even a term, that I wouldn't be surprised. It'd be like, I think he does see himself as kind of a cool guy.
Do you mean to say Miami Vice-ness without the niceness?
It's like,
is that where you're going with this?
Go to the trailer and don't be bothering me.
Yeah, don't knock on my door. Just let me know.
Mr. Johnson's in the trailer. And it's funny, too, that they kind of had to, behind his back almost, go get a good swing so that they could do cutaways. You know, in the movie business, if you don't see the guy's head, it could be anybody. You get cutaways when you're seeing the swing. You're like, oh, wow, Don Johnson's got a really nice swing.
Hammonds is a good golfer, too. He's a real good golfer. Yep, he hits it a long way. Yeah, he's one of the good guys. He really, really is.
Yeah, we got to have him on again. He was fun.
Yeah, he's a blast to be around. He was in the studio during the Senior LPGA Championship, which was not on site at French Lick, and I was there on site at French Lick. Right. But he came up a couple of days before, and we hung out on the range and wandered around, drove around, talked to all the gals that played in the tournament. And had a lot of fun and played some golf with Sweeney. And
nice.
You know, French Lick, one of our sponsors, FrenchLick.com. Go there, folks. It's a great place. And also, you have a relationship with somebody there in Dallas, right?
With Club Corp?
Yeah.
Club Corp, based here in Dallas.
I know.
But they're all over the country. I don't know if you know they're not, but they're all over the country.
I do.
You got courses. You've got dinner clubs, if you will, all over the country, over almost 300 in total. Go to clubcorp.com, and you can find out more about that and actually plug in your location, and they'll show you what courses are nearby for you, whether you're in Alabama or Idaho or California or wherever, and see what the courses are. And when you're a member at one Club Corp facility, you get privileges at all the others, including places like Firestone. You'd be impressed by the list.
Oh,
a lot of people probably know the Club Corp list, but there's some very well-known courses on that list as well. So anyway, check them out at clubcorp.com.
Yeah.
Hey, before we go, Frank, we were talking about the Colts and how bad that was at last game. Did you watch that final game, the last game of the last night, which was the game between the Raiders and the Chargers?
Yes, I did.
That if it ended in a tie?
Yes, I did.
After they had needed Jacksonville to beat the Colts, all those things had to fall into place for that game to mean both teams, if they tied, Chargers and the Raiders would both be in the play with a tie. Well, what are the odds of a tie, right? They're very, very few times in a year
one,
that teams in it
one
go into overtime Pittsburgh. And then still can't score in overtime and tie, and it doesn't happen very often. That was the scenario, and sure enough, it was played out until 2 seconds left in overtime that the Raiders won that game and put Pittsburgh in and knocked the Chargers out of the playoffs. I watched the whole game, and I was like, I can't believe this. It was one of the most unique games. Not that I cared about either team, but never before has there been that scenario play out where the last game of the season had to be a tie to have a real effect on the playoffs, and that it actually went into overtime, and they scored on the final play of regulation to get it in. I mean, it was unbelievable, the drama. Yeah, it was crazy.
Hey, before we get out of here, too, how many people do you think from the Northeast and the Upper Midwest and the West Coast watched the national championship game last night?
Why are you saying that area versus the whole country? I'm not sure.
Because it was an all SEC championship.
Oh, I got you. Okay, because nobody cared about that. I don't know.
I'd like to see the ratings.
I think people still cared because it was for a national championship. Certainly, if it was more of a national game, and I'll make up teams, but let's say it was Penn State, USC,
or Michigan
against Florida or something like that, might have changed because it does get more regional and people care. Yeah, I didn't care about either team. I don't care about the SEC, and I'm really tired of Alabama. So, but
well, I care really about feel?
The
net.
It was like, hey, it's still for the final college game. So, if you're a fan, you're probably still going to watch, even if it's not your team. I would imagine they may not have had the biggest numbers in that area because, in all honesty, people are sick of especially Alabama. And that's a good thing for Alabama. They're like, okay, go ahead, be sick. You're jealous, probably. But people get sick of,
they just win and win and win and win.
Every year. So maybe there's a chink in the eye. Now we got Georgia. Maybe next year we'll see some new
teams. Ole Miss. No, not without Corral.
Yeah.
You saw what we did without Corral. What happened in that bowl game.
But Kiffin will get somebody else in there.
And I want to apologize. I want to apologize to the Baptist out there.
Don't worry about what I said
on the last show. I didn't mean
you made fun. It was just a joke.
I was joking, but some people took offense to that. And,
well, but people
I didn't mean it. You know, I'll just the Crusades are over.
you were just saying that about Baylor. That's why you said it. People are confused about what he means by Baptist.
Yes,
Baylor beat your team, and so you're just kind of making the joke.
Well,
about
they broke his ankle.
Yeah.
Broke his ankle.
You make it sound like they pinned him down on the sidelines and
snapped it.
Big hammer out.
They did.
Give him a shot in the ankle. Maybe he'll play after that. That's what the Baptists do.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. Good. That's
I'm paraphrasing T-I-M-M you, Frank. I'm paraphrasing you, Frank. Don't put me in your but crazy
his
house.
His home phone number is. Oh, God. Really?
All right, start the music.
What
I got to go.
Because
you know what? I got my remodelers are almost finishing my house. I can't believe it.
What are you finishing?
Murphy Brown.
What?
I'm remodeling my bedroom. I've been doing it for, 9 months. No, not really, but a couple months. It's supposed to be done by Christmas. We're not there. But
Christmas 22?
The yeah.
Oh, well, go answer the door.
Christmas, I'll be done. I've got to
get out of here.
Hey, we are done, everybody. We love each and every one of you. Be sure, whatever platform you go to, tell your friends to check out Golf Talk America. Go to our website as well and tell everybody about it because we have a lot of fun. And hopefully you liked it and you enjoy it. And future shows will be as good, maybe even better than today's show was. Thanks to Brian Hammonds for joining us as well. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Again, thanks so much for being around. And join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.